Rung, for my money, saved the day, Wendy. Don't you think? I think Eric Rung should get some sort of a medal.
Yeah.
He heard radio silence, and he knew that that's not good, and he dove in headfirst into the deepest part of the ocean.
Got to keep that needle moving.
Eric,
and we would have, but it was just really, everyone was flummoxed around here.
We were all in shock.
Isn't that a great word?
Flummoxed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were. We were flummoxed, as Wendy said. But Eric, fearless Eric Rung, said, I'll take this one.
Well, thanks for taking one for the team.
Yeah, he did.
You got it. Anytime.
You are a hero to the nation.
See, I grew up in Brookfield, and the Steve Cochran Show was out in Brookfield. So sometimes when there are remotes and then we're throwing it back to the studio.
Yes.
I'll just say there's a switching problem. I don't know if that's what it is.
There's a lot of buttons that need to be either pressed or levers that need to be adjusted.
Our lines were crossed.
I don't understand any of it. I watch everybody scurries around and moves levers and buttons and switches, and I just nod and go, yes.
You are the best at that.
What, at nodding and
at just sitting there watching everybody
I'm
be flummoxed.
I'm amazed by it all. Every part of it amazes me.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Jasmine, do we need to play these commercials right away here? Are these the news break commercials?
Just give us 2 seconds.
All right. One, two.
Now, Eric,
not
this is
literally.
Just a drill. You don't have to jump
on
it this time.
You don't want me to
time.
Jump in?
Not this time.
I'm ready.
This is strictly.
I'm a good button presser.
Boy, are you.
I'll tell you. It's. I feel like Tom Skilling. I'll tell you. It's a Friday, so, you know, who cares what happens?
Oh.
Fridays are the best day ever invented, which you pointed out to me. You'd think I would have figured that out before working with you.
Well, if this sort of thing happens on a Monday, you say to yourself subconsciously, oh, what a hellish week this is going to be. Nothing's working out. But on a Friday, you go,
All right, we have 1 minute to fill, and then we're going to break.
Right. Let me tell everybody this. On today's show, the legendary, and you can use all caps on that if you want,
He deserves all caps.
Well, he not only deserves it, but he insists that we say it. The legendary Chet Kopic will be joining us in a little while to talk about himself, his book. That's no shock. His book, sports, this craziness in the Middle East, and other topics.
He's going to talk about that?
Yes.
You know what? He could.
Yes.
Chet Kopic.
When I say the Middle East, I mean in the playoffs, the National League Middle East, that division.
Chester Jeffrey Kopic will
Chester
be...
Chester Jeffrey Kopic.
He really pretty much originated sports talk in this city, did he not?
If he didn't originate it, he made it a new thing. He made it...
Personality.
It wasn't just
scores
anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, that famous tape that's been played by everyone where he was talking to Tommy Lasorda.
Yes.
And we can talk to Chet about that. And he set up this... As Chet usually did, set up this pretty long question.
So that
isn't that right, Tommy? And he took a bit, I believe he took a bite of a Cobb salad. We can find out exactly what that is.
That sounds right.
From Bigsby and Crothers.
Yes.
And from Bigsby's
Jeffrey Crothers.
Bigsby and Crothers was the clothing store, but Bigsby's Grill or something.
Yeah, I think it was called Bigsby's Grill. Yeah.
And Tommy Lasorda gave a one-word answer, and Chet was caught with a mouthful of Cobb salad.
Yeah.
And we're talking like this coming back.
On paper, it seems foolproof. I'll ask a question that will get a long answer, and I can enjoy a Cobb salad, but it didn't play out that way. And that's a legendary tape.
That's pretty great.
He's certainly known for other things.
Oh, totally.
But...
You know, name one.
I can't think of any offhand.
We'll ask him.
All right. He'll know some. All right. We'll take a quick break. Eric, don't jump on anything yet. Be patient. Patience, everybody. We have a full show for you. It's Bill Huff. It's Wendy Snyder. And it's WGN. Jump on it, Eric.
All right. I'm here. You need to do news. I can do weather. I can
no,
do
you're
tell
fine.
Me what you need.
You're fine.
All right. Well, commercials are running, but they're not being heard on the air.
All right.
Anyone have a suggestion?
No. Can I ask you about, you had a scheduled ladies' night out last night.
No, it's Saturday.
It's
tomorrow.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was last night.
I'm not
I was
going
wondering,
out on a weeknight.
You came in very chipper, and I thought, this isn't the Wendy that usually comes in after a ladies' night.
No, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah. You come in on Sunday? Let's see how
no.
you look on Sunday.
No, because Frank Fontana is working with Kathy Hart on Sunday. After Dean.
See, I would have put Kathy Hart with Lou Manfredini because they both have experience working with tools. But that's just me.
Well, is that why you wanted to have Kathy on our show so you could say that? Can I? I'm going to go hug you. I swear to God, I don't hug you often, but that one's worthy of it.
Thank you.
I thought maybe you had mentioned off the air that Kathy should have worked with Eric Rung.
Well, and then you got the reuniting of Eric and Kathy, and that's also fun. But
I think we spell our names different, though. I think he's a C.
Oh, there's a lot different.
He's one of those.
You two.
Yeah. Yep.
C stands for.
Don't even.
All right, tell me when we should break and what we need to do. Otherwise, we'll just talk all day. We're going commercial free, baby.
There are a team of engineers in the producer's booth trying to figure this out. You know how they have the Corps of Army engineers? Like if there's a bridge that goes down or a canal that's not working properly?
Yes.
If you look in the producer's booth right now, there are three all-star engineers all looking at things. Everybody's agreeing that it's not working properly, but they'll fix it. It will be fixed.
Oh, of course they'll fix it, and I wouldn't make fun of them because...
No!
You
I'm
need
not.
The engineers.
What part of me is making fun of them? I'm marveling at them. What if I had to go in there and fix it?
Well, all right. We're resetting the system. So maybe that will work.
Start over. Start the show over.
No, I'm not going to. Well, I don't want to get into anything if we're going to break right away.
They keep pressing a commercial button, so at some point the commercials are just going to materialize. So it's up to you. We can start something. Tell me really quickly, because I thought your ladies' night was last night. It's Saturday.
I have to ask you a question, too. Just a bunch of girls and / friends from the neighborhood are hooking up, going for a couple of cocktails, and then going to see A Star Is Born.
Okay.
I said on the air yesterday when we were talking to Dean that, you know, Jim, my husband, didn't want to see it. And he said,
he wants to see it.
This is what he said to me. He goes, I heard you say that. It's not that I don't want to see it. You know, I wanted to take you. And I said, well, here's an idea. Why don't you ask?
Oh.
So I think he's kind of, he'll see it. You know, he's not opposed to it, but it's not like he wants to rush out and go see it. But I do now because, wait, can I just ask you a Bradley Cooper question?
You can ask me a Bradley Cooper question. Sure.
Is he naked in it? Is there a naked scene?
I don't remember
him. Do you see
a
butt?
I don't remember that. No.
All right. Someone has lied to me.
There might be a second version of it out there somewhere that I'm not aware of, but I don't if it happened, it went right past me. I don't remember that.
I thought I read that.
Will he only see it if there's a scene with Bradley Cooper's butt in it?
Yeah,
how peculiar is that? What would his motivation
no,
for that be?
No, I wanted to ask because I thought.
Oh, so you know how
some
close
of these
to the
girls,
screen to sit?
Yes, exactly.
Shall I wear opera glasses? You can. It's up to you.
I heard from someone that he's naked in it.
There's a scene or two where they are. You know what happens when couples fall in love, Wendy, is they smooch. And there may be a smooching scene
that
or two.
I can't listen to that word.
There may be some. There may be some hugging and some kissing, and you know they might not be wearing full attire, but I don't remember.
Do you see anything?
I don't remember.
Like a butt. That's all I'm asking about.
It's possible, but I don't.
How would you not remember that?
Because there's
you
a lot.
Blocked
of,
it out?
There's other things going on in the movie. I don't just sit there with a notepad going, oh, at 1 hour and 6 minutes, BCB.
Bradley Cooper butt.
Yeah, I didn't do that. But this isn't, I don't think this movie qualifies, you know, there's certain movies that are what the kids like to call the chick flicks. I don't think that this is a chick flick. A guy can enjoy this movie just as much as a girl can.
All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
But Jim will see it. He just...
Who will he see it with if you don't go with him?
He'll just, when it comes out on home viewing.
Oh, that's too long. That's way down the road. He wants to see it now.
If there's no Grateful Dead music in it, then I don't know that
there
he wants to see
it. There isn't Grateful Dead music in it.
But it's not a chick flick, although...
It's not. It's really not.
I don't know. I just want to see it.
It's no Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
I didn't see that. Jim did. That's what's weird.
I saw that with a bunch of my friends. What are you doing, Rob? Let's all go see Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants together. All right, I'm in.
Oh, you know what? I did see that, and I enjoyed that, but I saw it at home.
Oh.
But yes, Saturday's the big night to go see A Star Is Born. Will I be wowed? Did you love it? Because
I didn't. I liked it a lot. It was not the experience that some have said. And maybe it's because I know that story so well. I saw the other versions or two of the three other versions of it. And that's fine. I mean, they've updated it a little bit. But it's not, like Dean said, it's the best movie of the year so far. For me, it wasn't. It was good and well worth seeing, and you may or may not get to see Bradley Cooper's butt in it. I don't know.
All right, we are getting the break sign. So it is Bill Leff. It is Wendy Snyder. It is 720 WGN.
How embarrassing.
Speaking of buns.
How embarrassing.
Bradley Cooper's buns. BCB, baby.
This is the strangest thing in the world. Much like those optical illusion pictures where they show a picture of a dress and some people say it's one color and some people say it's another color.
Yes.
The texts are divided pretty much equally. This all among people who have seen the movie A Star Is Born. Half of the people say, Wendy, I saw the movie. You'll be sad to learn that, no, you do not see Bradley Cooper's butt at any point in the movie. There's several people saying that. But then there's other people who can tell you exactly when in the movie you will see it, but all the scenes are different. There's a bathtub scene. There's a scene where he goes to the doctor and gets a shot.
In his butt? We get him in our arms now.
Yeah. Like lower leg. It's like, yeah.
Your
lower
thigh?
Leg. Yeah.
Do you know the anatomy?
No. I don't know it. So depending on which of these texts you want to believe, you either will be treated to what you just described or you won't be.
All right, well, I just want to see it. I am a huge fan of Lady Gaga.
That shouldn't be the reason you go to see
that
any
isn't.
Movie.
And right. Somebody said, so it's okay for a woman to ogle over, is it oogle or ogle? Ogle.
Oogle.
Over a man's butt, but a man can't ogle over a woman's butt without being called a pig.
Oh.
You can call me a pig. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't call a guy a pig if they see a butt.
You know, they paid their $11.50. The least they can do is see what they came for, whatever.
It's okay. I mean, anybody, look.
Yeah.
Can't you?
You can look, but I think what you've done in the past, you know, rushing the screen with your cell phone and taking pictures, that's too much.
You've heard of a selfie? This is a buddy. What it is.
Isn't it peculiar, though? I sat through an entire movie. The movie is like 2 hours and 9 minutes, and I honestly don't remember.
Over 2 hours, I have a problem.
Well, yeah.
It's 209?
It's somewhere in there. And there's no wacky outtakes at the end. A lot of times in the movies, they'll show you a wacky outtake scene. There's no wacky outtakes.
Someone agreed with you, too. It was good, but not amazing.
See, that's the thing is, don't you, every once in a while when you hear people talk about a movie, and this is not against Dean at all, it's Dean's favorite movie of the year so far, so when you hear stuff like that, you go, this is going to be an experience, this is more than a movie, this is going to be an experience, you know, and then I kept waiting for that to kick in, and it didn't kick in.
Well, I mean, would I be safe to assume it's obviously a love story?
It is.
It's a music story.
Yes.
So, not that you're opposed to love, because I know you're
I'm
romantic.
I'm a big fan of love.
But, I mean, movies get a different reaction out of different people, so
right.
It's...
But I love sap in a movie. Like, I cry really easily in movies. It doesn't take much. I cried in The Great Muppet Caper. That Fozzie Bear, he did some things that just got to me. But
did you cry?
No,
really?
I did not. And I was expecting it. I was ready for it, and it never happened. And I mean, I know that there are scenes in there where I don't want to give anything away, but where it could move somebody to tears, certainly.
And you didn't cry?
No. Uh-uh.
Were you crabby that day?
Uh-uh. Not at all.
That's
no.
Unusual.
I know.
The wind blows and you cry sometimes.
That's happened more than once. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a well-crafted movie. Everybody involved in it does a nice job. I think this opens up a whole new territory for Lady Gaga. Stephanie Germanotto or Germanetti or something like that. Is that her name?
It's pretty close.
I think she's proved that she can definitely carry a movie, you know, and Bradley Cooper's always good. Everybody in it is, everything about it is good. It's just not, to me anyway, it didn't bowl me over.
Do you see Sam Elliott's butt?
Oh, also the movie. He doesn't even wear pants in the movie.
I love that guy, man. He is the smoothest cowboy.
If I was going to be a cowboy, and I think now, let's be honest, the odds of that are slim.
Yeah, you're probably.
Which would be my cowboy name? Odds slim.
Odds slim.
Yeah, the letter R, like R. Kelly, and then slim. Sam Elliott would be the direction to go, because he's the way he walks, the way he talks.
Yeah,
that's an old grizzled cowboy right there. That guy
mustache.
Yeah,
gotta have a mustache.
Yep.
All right. Well, I will I will let you know what I think. And I am kind of anxious because when a movie comes out like this, it's like people are raving.
Mm-hmm.
I've not heard anything bad about it.
I don't know anyone could not like the movie. I just don't know that it's a
severity
four-star.
Of greatness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted.
Right.
In the meantime, 1 week from today, Bill.
Yep.
I'm going to quit. That's 1 week
Don't
from
say
today.
That. Come on.
1 week from today, we are going to be live in action, another remote, so hopefully it'll go smoothly. We're going to be out at Tree Time, and you can get in the spirit of giving with us. It's the Goodwill and Tree Time Tree Trade-In Drive. We're going to be broadcasting live 1 week from today at Tree Time in Lake Barrington on Friday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 1.
So that includes the bonus hour, right?
Yep.
2 hours of regular broadcast and the bonus hour, all in Lake Barrington. Enjoy Lou Malnati's Pizza. Win $25 Goodwill gift cards every 30 minutes, and then somebody's going to walk away with a Christmas-themed centerpiece that the goodbye girl herself, Judy Pilak, has personally created.
Bobby Slayton's going to be there, so he's very funny. He is so funny.
He's the pit bull of comedy.
And I'm glad people get to see him live.
Yep.
It's worth the price of admission, which is free, by the way, just to come right. see Bobby Slayton. We'll talk about top holiday treats from Chicago Bears baker Sarah Tuohy. She's going to actually bring some treats for us to share.
So remember, Goodwill and Tree Time are collecting gently used artificial Christmas trees all through the month of October. With your tree donation, you will get $75 off select new Tree Time trees, so be one of the first three to bring a tree to our broadcast, and then you'll receive an additional $75 off.
All happening at Tree Time, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. It's next Friday, 1 week from today, the 19th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you want more details, go to WGNradio.com/events for all of your deets. This is brought to you by Goodwill and Tree Time. All right, Billy. Billy Jeffrey left.
Billy Jeffrey left. Wendy Jeffrey Snyder. Look who's in the studio. It's the legendary Chet Kopic, who's just come out with his fifth book. The first four were romance novels, but this one, Your Dime, My Dance Floor, now being published, now available to you, the public. Hi, Chet. How are you?
William, I'm doing fine.
Great to see you.
You and Wendy. And by the way, that was... Girl, You Really Got Me by the Kinks.
Yeah.
I was only 32 when that song was released.
A mere child.
Absolutely.
What was the song you sang? Bring It On Home to Me or something?
Yeah,
or?
Bring It On Home to Me by Sam Cooke was my signature
beautiful.
Song.
Beautiful.
Wearing your long fur coat and
along
singing
with,
that.
Remember Jim Modelsky, my producer
yes.
at Old Loop? We did a playoff of Na 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 Hey Hey by Steam. It was Mo 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 Mo. Mo, 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 book the show.
That's beautiful.
I got to know Chet very well because I got stuck doing traffic for you and all the boys in your group there. You guys had so much fun, but I remember the Mo, 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 Mo song. Everything was, get me a Peru's, Skippy. You're still drinking your Peru's, which is a Diet
yeah,
Coke?
Yeah, I drink about 24 Diet Cokes a day. That's why I'm so slim and trim.
That's what's doing
I'm
it.
The only guy in Chicago with a bigger ass in the merchandise market.
Chet, what's your earliest sports memory?
My earliest sports memory would probably be being at Comiskey Park with my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of interesting. It's in my book. It's actually chapter one. Bill, would you like to begin reading from chapter one?
Yes. Everyone pull out your miscellaneous.
No.
Page
go
six.
Until 3 o'clock. All right. What was fun about it was my dad scored. My dad was a flamboyant character with a lot of big-name friends in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Jack Brickhouse and got four in the front row for a White Sox-Yankee doubleheader. Well, I'm in awe. I mean, here's Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra. But what I remember most is this, is in the top half of the first in Game 1, Mickey Mantle, who just oozes sex appeal, just, you know, this golden boy from Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
walks out. And my mother at that time, my mother was 20 years younger than my father was. My mother would have been about maybe 30, something like that. And I looked up at my mom's eyes and then looked over at Mickey and I realized, you know, there must be something to this thing they call sex.
You learned sex at a baseball game, and that's when you learned about first base,
I
second
sex
base.
At a baseball game.
From Mickey Mantle.
That's a spinoff of I Found Love on a Lonely Street.
Beautiful.
Oh, I gotcha. So did you fall in love with sports right away? Did you play sports?
I was the worst left tackle in Nutrier history. No, I played sports, but I realized Wendy and Bill at a very early age that I had no great physical talent. But I did have this urge to write, talk about sports, be around sports figures. So by the time I was 20, I went to work at WFLD, ostensibly as a production assistant. But, you know, WFLD at that time had about, it was a UHF station. And there were seven guys in Berwyn who could pick up our signal, two in Mokena, and maybe three in Old Town.
And one in Brookfield, because we got it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And it came in fuzzy all the time.
I remember your hate mail, Wendy, as a matter of fact. But one day they had to have someone interview Red Grange, who at that time was the most famous football player in American history. There's nobody there.
Right.
So Don Cannon, our news director, said, let the kid go out. He knows football. He knows Red Grange. And if he screws it up, so what? We just won't run it.
Yeah.
Well, I went out and I did it, and it actually turned out pretty well, and that's sort of what gave me the impetus toward being a broadcaster.
As I page through the book, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of names I recognize, but there's one name I don't recognize. Who is Blinky Palermo?
Blinky Palermo was a notorious Philadelphia mobster who was linked to legendary heavyweight Sonny Liston, who I write about. There's a great deal of pathos in this book. This book is not all laughter. It's a lot of it's very, very sad, because I've met, you know, like, for example, being in Las Vegas and seeing Muhammad Ali against Larry Holmes and just getting punished and looking over at Ali's corner. And I know Angelo Dundee wants to stop the fight, his trainer, but the Muslims, the sect, wouldn't let him the fight.
Hmm. Sonny Liston, thought he could come back.
Yeah,
right? He could come back. And
well,
win that
they and they also didn't want to lose their meal ticket because Ali was giving literally millions to the black Muslims. And in the case of Sonny Liston, he was raised the son of a sharecropper, one of 19 children. He was like Rocky in the first scenes of Rocky. He was a headbuster, a collector, and a pretty good fighter. But he was so terribly misused, and to this day his death remains something of a cloud, because did he commit suicide by overdosing on heroin, or was he, as most people believe, injected by heroin?
Mm-hmm.
But Blinky Palermo and Frankie Carbo, two guys who make Tony Accardo look like a Boy Scout.
That's not good.
They were his managers.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even though it was known that they were in the mob, they
Bill, you got to remember, in boxing, all bets are off.
Yeah,
the double cross is a way of life. Yeah. The triple cross is fully accepted, and the quadruple cross is the way you should do business.
Right.
All right, our Bears are doing pretty well. What are your thoughts on Mitch Trubisky, Khalil Mack?
Well, in the case of Mitch Trubisky, you look back on the ball game a week ago Sunday, and you go, my gosh, you know, Johnny Unitas has arrived. Joe Montana's arrived. I don't think he's that good yet. He played against a Tampa team that I'm convinced on that given day couldn't have beaten Lane Tech. they might have tied Glenbard West. But in the case of Khalil Mack, this guy, and God may strike me dead for this, is the equal of Dick Butkus.
Oh, wow.
He's that good.
Says a lot.
Significantly better than Brian Urlacher.
Yeah?
Urlacher was a great side-to-side.
Yeah.
Sideline-to-sideline linebacker. But you could beat him if you ran straight at him. In the case of Mack, this guy right now is inch for inch, pound for pound, the most devastating football player in the NFL.
Why did Bill Cowher not want him on the team? What was going on there?
Well, it was John Gruden.
Oh, Gruden, I'm sorry.
I love when Bill tries to throw down sports and he's wrong. It makes me happy.
Bill and I used to do football picks together.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, I remember that.
Yes, we did.
You know, Lundy, you'll love this. Bill, I'm sure you remember this. We're over at the rival station, 890 AM.
That's no rival.
You remember WLS. They used to exist. we pick every Friday, and I would make my picks, and then Bill's daughters would make his picks, and there would always be a gag line. And the gag line one time was Bill saying to his daughters, who were Mr. Kopic's last three dates? And it was around Christmas time, and they went, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, my God. Bill, you did that. How old were your daughters
at
the time?
Like,
about three.
Remember Karnak on Johnny Carson?
Yes.
So my daughters would hold up an envelope, and the answer was, ho, ho, ho. And then the question was, name Chet Kopic's last three dates.
Bill sounds pretty funny, but you're no slouch yourself.
All right, I'm going to name the sport. You tell me the best you ever saw in that sport.
Okay.
Ready? Basketball.
Two, Michael Jordan and Will Chamberlain.
Good answers. Baseball.
Either Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle.
Mm. Football.
Wow. Either Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, or Lawrence Taylor.
Interesting. Hockey.
Boy, I got to be sympathetic because I love the guy, and we did a banquet together at the UC in front of a Hawks game the other night. Bobby Hull.
Bobby Hull.
Yeah.
And the best overall athlete, all sports, who is just the most incredible athlete you've ever seen play.
Inch for inch, pound for pound, the greatest athlete I've ever seen play.
Yeah.
That would be the Iron Sheik, the legendary professional wrestler.
Really? I did not see that coming.
That would be Haystacks Calhoun.
Did Pinky represent him, too? I don't remember
Blinky
his name.
Palermo.
Oh, Blinky.
Yeah, he had
Oh,
him.
Blinky had his hands in everything. Hey, he won a free salami, free bologna, free booze. Just call Blinky.
Chet Kopic's here. His new book is called Your Dime, My Dance Floor. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
We are back in action. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Chester Kopic. Chet, I have known you a long time, and I love you. Can I tell you that?
That's really
But you're
very,
waiting
very
for
nice.
Something else. Did you see him waiting, like, where's the butt? There is
That's
no
right.
butt. You're
It's just pure unadulterated love is what it is.
You really started the whole sports personality end of radio here in this city,
yeah.
And everyone owes you a lot. Not me, but
well,
everyone
so far
else.
I haven't collected a dime.
The money would ruin you. You don't need the money.
Money would ruin me.
It would ruin you.
I haven't seen real money since I got whacked at Channel 5 back in 83.
I just saw you do something that I did not expect from you. A salesperson here, Kevin, came in and was talking about his boys. He's got two young boys. And the question was, would you let them play football? And you said, I wouldn't let them play football. I'm shocked to hear you say that.
No, I really believe, Bill, kids can play football, but not until the age of 14.
Yeah,
it's a damaging game. It's a violent game. The speed of the game. I mean, for example, every time I watch the Bears play, I'm looking down and I'm thinking to myself, you know, that hit that Khalil Mack just put on a rival quarterback. He's going to pay for that 20 years from now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is rough phraseology, but no one walks out of that sport today alive.
Right.
You are messed up. The only guy I know who survived. Do you remember a blonde-haired Adonis from Ohio State who played for the Bears who was just maniacal named Doug Plank?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Doug is 61, 62 years old. He's a Burger King franchisee, a Wendy franchisee. He was the first guy I thought would be lost in space. He's as sharp as a tack. Go
what
figure.
Did he do differently from everybody else?
I really don't know. I mean,
so
everything
surprising.
He did was wrong. He leveled his head.
Yeah.
Doug Buffone, when I wrote Doug's book, used to joke that, you know, Plank would have obvious interceptions, but wouldn't go for them because he wanted to whack the wide receiver.
That says a lot.
I remember there was a Monday night game in 1980 at Soldier Field, and Jimmy Giles, a Tampa Bay tight end, ran downfield, and Doug Williams, Tampa's quarterback, threw a laser toward Doug,
yeah,
and, or toward Jimmy Giles, rather, and Plank just leveled him.
Really?
Hit him right in the sternum.
Yeah.
Now, if he did that today, they'd give you life in prison.
Sure.
But, you know, there was no flag whatsoever.
So what is the future of football? If we know that it's not good for young kids to play the game, but we want there to still be college football and we want there to still be professional football, how do you figure that out?
Well, Bill, two reasons. Number one, TV money, and number two, gambling.
Yeah.
And number three, go tell families in Florida and Texas along the panhandle they can't play football. They'll tell you you're nuts.
Yeah.
Why can't kids start out with flag football and learn all the basics and how to move?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
And then as they get older, I guess high school, or is that even, you know, too early?
I think logically speaking, a boy should begin playing football if he wants to do it. And you have to be willing, this is a common phrase in the NFL, you have to be willing to sell out, which means you put your body on the line. You don't hesitate, you go for broke. If a kid really wants to play, by the time he's 14 years old, let him play. But accept the fact, I'm writing a book right now on Dennis McKinnon, who was a monster with the Bears back in 85, the greatest downfield blocker I've ever seen among wide receivers. Now, he admits to having 7 concussions. Hmm. And again, he's sharp as a tack.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there are guys on the 85 Bears, I'm not gonna name names, who are really, I mean, they are sad
not
cases.
Not doing well.
Banged
I mean,
up physically
well,
and mentally.
I will mention one name.
Yeah.
William Perry.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Fred is still alive. In terrible shape physically, yeah. Violently overweight. He's got several kinds of diseases, you know, diabetes, and he's just... He's living on cloud nine.
Yeah,
and that's sad. I mean,
he doesn't have a lot of money.
No,
it's not like you're taken care of for life when you give up your body like that.
No, matter of fact, Wendy, you'll find that after 3 or 4 years, most pro football players, no matter how long they played, are either broke, divorced, or alcoholics. Matter of fact, I have a chapter in my book about doing a banquet with Fridge over Harry Carey's about 1990. And I arrived early, about 11:15, which was unusual. And William was already there and holding his newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this very forlorn look on his face. And I said, Bill, what's wrong? And he went, why can't we just play the games in empty stadiums with no press and nobody writing about us? I never wanted all this.
He just wanted to play the game.
He just wanted to play the game. When he was cutting ribbons at shopping centers or going on a radio show or a TV show, he was the most uncomfortable guy in the world. And, players joke about the fact that his wife, Sherry, used to go to training camp every year because she was convinced that Otis Wilson and Richard Dent were setting him up with babes. He used to kiss a cape. I are a broadcaster.
take two on that one.
He used to keep a cape.
He used to keep a case of Coors beer in his in the back of his SUV. And McKinnon said he kept the case there for one reason. It gave him time to avoid going home to see his wife.
Oh no! Oh no! Chet, I brought up his commercial. Remember his commercial? Open the door, the light goes on. So we had him on the show, and I brought that up to him, and he didn't remember it.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise
Maybe
me
he didn't choose to remember it.
It didn't look like he had any idea what I was talking about.
Who are you, Elliot Ness?
It's point.
Oh, maybe Mr. Perry, you just don't choose to remember it.
Lee, Rico, Youngblood, rough him up. He'll remember it.
Getting back to Khalil, is it Khalil or Khalil? Because I've heard both.
Khalil.
All right, Khalil Mack is in Chicago. I heard the audio as he's walking around shopping at, he's buying some necessities somewhere, and he's blown away that people recognize him. He hasn't been here that long,
no.
But everybody is a Bears fan here in Chicago, except some people. Bill.
They've broken my heart too many times, Chet.
Oh, I just got done going to my 68th consecutive Chicago Bears home opener.
Did you really?
They were breaking my heart when Truman was in office.
You can't go the Packers way.
Dewey defeats the Bears. I remember the headline. Chet, it's so good to see you. Congrats on the book.
Thank you very much.
It's Your Dime, My Dance Floor. It's available wherever books are sold, right?
Yeah, what's the best place to send people?
Can we put my good friend Rick Kemper on
for a moment? Yeah, sure.
Rick, do the upsell,
nice
will
to
you?
See you.
The best place to get it, Bill, is EckhartsPress.com. EckhartsPress.com.
All former Loopsters, we all worked at the Loop, sometimes together, sometimes separately. Really, being in that room with you and all your guys was like just, I've never recovered from it. Years
it was like
therapy.
Being in the psychotic wing of Cook County Jail.
Not as safe.
Skippy, give me a chilled peruse.
Thank you, Chet.
So nice
Bill,
to see
my
you.
Pleasure. Wendy, thank
Rick,
you so much.
Thanks for coming up.
Thanks.
A quick break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Thanks so much, Eric. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. On Fridays, we talk to Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. He helps us all decide exactly what we should and shouldn't be watching on TV. Alex, how are things? Everything all right?
So good. Busy TV weekend, so I'm very excited to delve into it and chat about it.
I'm looking at all the highlights coming up. Let's start out with a show. Now, I didn't realize that this show was a musical, but it has been described that way. Tell me about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
So Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it is a musical about depression. Hooray! But it's one of the best shows on TV. It comes back for its final season starting tonight at 9 p.m. on the CW. It's fantastic. It's created by or co-created by this woman named Rachel Bloom, who's very funny. Every episode, they have several completely original musical numbers that they perform. A lot of them are dealing with her mental state and her depression. There's a big plot twist that happened at the end of last season where she may or may not be going to jail at the beginning of this season. So if you haven't gotten on board before, this is definitely a great time to jump in, even for the last season. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. It's fun. It's like nothing else on TV.
Can we get the earlier episodes on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon?
Yeah, I believe they're all streaming on Netflix, and they're short seasons since the CW. They tend to do about 13-episode seasons, so it's easy to jump into and get caught up, and I highly recommend it. You won't be sorry.
Alex, I like when a show not only knows but tells the viewers that it's the last season, because it's kind of a way to tie up any loose ends. You know, if you've kind of been hanging on, mm-hmm. you go, well, I like the show, I like the characters, I want to see where they end up. Talk about the dynamic. What goes on behind the scenes when a show knows it's going to be the last year? It happened last year with The Middle. It's happening this year with mm-hmm. Modern Family. What goes on behind the scenes when everyone knows it's the last season?
Well, like you said, it really gives them a very clear ending point. And particularly for a show like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, they went into it with a four-season plan. They arced out the entire thing. Certainly, there's different places that it went. There's one actor that they're actually not able to bring back for the last season, so they're recasting him and making that part of the plot. So things change as you go on, right? But ultimately, if you know where the character is going to end up, that gives you a place to aim for. That gives you emotional arcs to plan out, plot arcs to plan out. And overall, I think it makes the show that much better. It also gives people, I think, behind the scenes an expectation, because a surprise cancellation is never fun. People end up out of a job. They don't know what they're going to do next, versus something like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. People have enough advance notice. They can say, hey, I'm on this show through the fourth season. After this, I will be free. Yeah. I would love to audition for this. I would love to work on this crew, etc. So overall, it's just a much better way of working things.
Agreed.
All right. I watched the premiere of The Walking Dead, and I'm just curious if the ratings went up. I know that season, or the last two seasons, people were jumping off The Walking Dead ship. How did it do with its reboot?
Well, I have some very bad news and some better news for you on that front. The very bad news is just in terms of people who purely watch the premiere on TV, it went terribly. It was actually 47% down from the season 8 premiere. So that's very much not good news at all for The Walking Dead, particularly what I thought it was a very good episode and a return to form. But on the other end of the spectrum, AMC has this app, a streaming app, AMC Premiere, where they have all of their shows on there. They put the premiere of Walking Dead up 24 hours early, and I don't have exact figures for that. They haven't released them, but apparently it was record sign-ups for the app. So even if Walking Dead isn't working on TV in the same way right now, people are still watching it. They are still talking about it, and it is driving those streaming numbers. So despite what some haters of the show may think, it's not quite dead yet.
And the reason I bring this up is because you and Bill were talking about announcing that it's the final season. They're announcing that this is Rick's final time with, you know, everyone. I thought he was going to lose it the first episode, but I guess they're going to string you along a while. But I almost didn't want to know. I mean, they're mm-hmm. it was released. I understand that, but I don't need to know it's Rick's final season.
It's definitely, like we talked about last week, a way of them driving tune in. Even though we saw this fall for the season 9 premiere, I think whenever the episode is where they say this is Rick's final episode, and for better or for worse, they'll be pretty open about that, that's probably going to drive huge numbers for people wanting to find out how he leaves. And in terms of the long-term prospects of the show, AMC is all in on it. they're all in on Walking Dead. They're all in on Fear the Walking Dead. They're even talking about other spinoffs and movie iterations and other things. So Walking Dead will continue far beyond Rick Grimes, even if the writings aren't quite up to snuff.
Can I throw an idea at you, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
This is for ratings.
Absolutely.
You do a crossover, one crossover episode, Walking Dead and This Is Us. You have Zombie Jack. You have Zombie William.
Oh, I like
all your favorite
it.
Characters. They come back as zombies. What do you think?
Love it. We can call it This Is Dead or
This Is
Walking
Dead.
Oh, you guys do something with that.
All right.
I also want to promote a new show. My girlfriend Lisa Nelson will be writing for it with Michael Kudlitz, who was Abraham on The Walking Dead. It's called The Kids Are All Right, and it's debuting Tuesday. I can't wait to see it on ABC. It's like a 1970s ensemble comedy, a traditional Irish Catholic family, many kids. The trailer looks super funny. I can't wait to see it.
I'll mention I've actually seen the premiere of that show, and it's super charming. I went in kind of feeling like, oh, this is just like Wonder Years, except set in the 1970s with a Catholic family. But about halfway through the episode, it finds its groove. And as you mentioned, Michael Kudlitz is great. He's shaved his mustache from Walking Dead, and I really thought it was Sean Astin for about half the pilot because they look exactly the same. But it becomes charming, and the family is great together, and the cast is great. Congratulations to your fan. It's a lot of fun.
I can't wait to see it.
Alex, what do you know about a show called The Romanoffs? All I know is the people behind it are very, very talented, the people producing it and starring in it, but what can you tell us about it? It starts tonight, I think, Romanoffs.
Well, this premiered the first two episodes, and I say episodes loosely because they're each an hour and a half long on yeah. Prime Video today. It's created by Matt Weiner, who is the creator of Mad Men. It's his first series since he left Mad Men. And the cast is superb. It includes Aaron Eckhart and Diane Lane, Corey Stoll, Paul Reiser. I could go on forever. The idea of the show is a bunch of people who either claim or think they are descendants of the Romanov family from Russia. But it's very loose. It's an anthology show. It deals more with how we see our roots and how our lineage affects us. I got to tell you, I've seen the first three episodes, and we've discussed it quite a bit here in the office. It's beautifully filmed and incredibly well acted, but a very frustrating series to watch just because of some of the plot choices that they make. They don't feel quite as strong as they could have. But if you are looking for something lush and very different and very interesting, if you are into the history of the Romanovs at all, I actually even recommend skipping to the second episode and then going back to the first episode before you get into it.
Wow, I've never heard of that tactic before, but I'd try that. That's interesting. Alexander Zeldin.
Go on.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say they're basically like separate movies, so
yeah.
There's no real plot following.
Oh.
You can jump in wherever you want.
Oh, all right. Alexander Zeldin's our guest, managing editor over at Decider.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. Our guest is Alexander Zeldin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Decider.com is the website to visit if you love your television. Alexander, there's another comic book show, but this one, I'm guessing, from what I'm reading, doesn't sound like it's geared toward kids at all, but more adults. It's called Titans. Is it based on Teen Titans?
It is, in fact, specifically on the new Teen Titans series from way back in the day from DC Comics. This is the first live-action show from DC's new DC Universe streaming service. This is a separate streaming service that you have to subscribe to all on its own. It includes lots of awesome legacy material, all the Superman movies, most of the Batman movies, animated shows. But this is their first original live-action show, and there is cursing, there's violence, there's sex. If you have kids who have watched Teen Titans Go, never show this to them.
Oh, really?
Ever. Yeah, it's extremely adult and extremely graphic, particularly even beyond what you might expect from the CW superhero shows, Arrow, The Flash, etc. It's definitely their way of saying, hey, this is something we can do with the DC Comics characters, but only on streaming. That said, if you are a fan of the characters, Robin is played by Brenton Thwaites. Anna Diop, a superb actress, plays Starfire. She is fantastic on the show. I got to tell you, I've seen the first couple, and I was a little mixed on it because
yeah.
Grim dark superheroes is not exactly my thing. But once the team starts to come together, which is at about episode 3, and I should mention this is broadcast on a weekly schedule instead of bingeable. It starts to get a little fun. The actors work really well off of each other. And the effects are surprisingly good, given that this is their first streaming show. So don't show it to kids. Anybody else who is a fan of the characters, if you're curious, you might want to check it out.
Is this influenced at all by the success of Riverdale, where they took the Archie's characters and juiced them up a little bit? Is that kind of along the same lines?
Well, it does have some of the same behind-the-scenes talents. Greg Berlanti, who produces basically every single show on TV, yeah. He is one of the producers behind Riverdale. He is one of the three creators of Titans. But if anything, I do think this is them responding to, hey, here's all the stuff that we can't do on the CW. Let's do it on our streaming service instead. And to their credit, the new Teen Titans series by Marv Wolfman and George Perez, I think, mm-hmm. was very adult for its time. There was a lot, you know, not graphic stuff like this, but there were a lot of very adult situations that were dealt with in the comic book, and I believe that's what they're trying to channel here.
Halloween is coming up, and Bill, you and I were talking about The Haunting. I got it confused with The Haunting of Hull House, but The Haunting of Hill House, there was a movie originally, right?
There was a movie called The Haunting of Hell House with Roddy McDowell, but I think this version is different. This is Hill House, right? The new one?
Yeah, we've actually been joking around the office about making a flowchart of what should you watch, The Haunting of Hill House, Hill House, or The Hills on MTV, and just tell people what to watch. But this is based on the original Shirley Jackson novel from 1959. It's on Netflix today, 10 episodes. It's directed and created by Mike Flanagan, who's been making a real name for himself in terms of horror. He did Gerald's Game, which was great on Netflix, and Ouija, Origin of Evil. And this is about, it takes place in two different timelines, sort of like It in a way, where a family moves into this house. There's weird, horrific things going on, and then years later they deal with the repercussions of that when they return to the house. And the folks around the office who have seen it, first of all, say it's great. It starts a little slow, but the family dynamics are wonderful. And what I've heard from folks, I haven't actually had a chance to check it out myself, is that it's one of the first TV shows, not just on Netflix, but in the history of TV, that is legitimately scary on an episode-by-episode basis.
Oh, good.
So, I'm really
looking
forward
to it. The only show that's really scaring me is Rachel Ray.
God, Bill, you are so mean. And there was a movie called The Haunting from years ago that was based on this Hill House thing, and I just know that scared the hills out of me. It really did.
Yeah.
All right, so that's on Netflix.
I was at New York Comic Con, and they showed off a couple of scenes at the Netflix panel, and just watching those scenes and hearing 6,000 people get quiet and then scream at the same time was delightful.
Oh, excellent.
I cannot wait. Good. That begins tonight?
It's on right now. Wow. If you want to jump in for a spooky good
Wendy,
time, you can
back.
Start watching it right
Wendy
now.
Wendy went to watch it, Alex. I don't know what happened. The kindergarten teacher, Maggie Gyllenhaal, what do we know there?
So this is a new film. This actually debuted at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. And it's about a school teacher who becomes obsessed with a child prodigy in her class. It's based on a 2014 Israeli film. Maggie Gyllenhaal is wonderful in it. But it plays out, it's not necessarily like a Dangerous Mind, she's mentoring somebody. Mm-hmm. Things so much as a thriller. And particularly if you're a parent, I recommend maybe giving this one a pass because it's very horrific to watch what happens without being a full-on horror movie. But again, fantastic performance from Maggie Gyllenhaal. Definitely a must-watch if you're a fan of her.
And what about what's going on with Roseanne? What do we hear from Roseanne lately?
It finally starts this week, I think, right? Tuesday night?
Yeah,
it is.
The Connors. The Connors is coming on, the spinoff without Roseanne, on Tuesday, October 16th at 8 p.m. That's going to be the debut of the show. We actually have a spoiler-free review will be going up on Decider later on today in the first two episodes. So definitely stay tuned to check that out. I can't really say much about what it is or how well it does right now, but suffice to say, from my perspective, everything that we've seen, it looks pretty good. I think the cast is good. They seem to have figured out a way to deal with Roseanne without Roseanne, and I'm honestly hopeful that the show will be good when it debuts on Tuesday.
I loved Roseanne, the reboot.
Oh, sure.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in her, and I hope I like it, and I hope people like it, because it would be great if this could be successful without
sure.
her.
Yeah.
You know, as one of my writers, Brett White, pointed out, hey, you have a sitcom with John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, and Sarah Gilbert in the cast. Forgetting about the Roseanne thing, those are fantastic actors that you would watch in almost anything. So
true.
There's every chance this could be good.
There's so many aspects I'm curious about, but this is ridiculous. But truly, I'm betting against myself. You know how they would do in the opening credits, they would kind of do that round camera move around the table, and it would end with Roseanne's cackle? So do they do mm-hmm. something to replace the cackle? Do they keep the cackle in? Do they leave it silent? I'm on pins and needles.
Well, she
Alex.
Will die, so it's probably ah.
Oh, it's
instead
more
of the cackle.
Oh, all right, good.
I think they need to do a remake of The Leftovers credits and just have an empty space where
yes.
she goes.
Oh.
Now we're talking. Oh, that'd be great.
I can't wait to see it. I really hope it's good. Although, in my opinion, she was the center of that
oh, yeah.
show.
Of course.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Based on the pics that they sent out about the first episode, nothing good for John Goodman. Every single picture of him and every bit of footage is just him being sad and lying down. And I don't know. It's going to be a little bit of a slog at first, but I think it should be definitely interesting to watch.
Dan Connor loved his Rosie girl. He
no
really
question.
Did. So,
yeah. Alex, always fun to talk to you. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again. And not next week. I think we're off next week. We're doing a remote. But in 2 weeks.
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to it, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank
Alexander
you.
Zalbin, managing editor of Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, then get you some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Eric. All right. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Want to say happy birthday to Stephanie Tischner, who is celebrating a birthday today, one of our bosses.
Mm-hmm.
She's
a nice
smiley.
Lady. She's a nice lady.
Lady makes her sound old.
She's a nice broad.
God help us all.
She's a nice dame.
I'm a big fan. She used to be our producer.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, she was our producer for a while.
So happy birthday to Stephanie.
Did strange things with Barbie dolls. Do you remember those stories?
I do remember that.
Strange things with Barbie dolls. Made me very uncomfortable.
As most kids were playing with Barbie dolls, and some of us were dirty and made Barbie get busy. She would pretend her Barbie dolls were flying.
They could fly.
And as they flew, that's when they
yeah.
were having relations.
Yeah. With who? Do you remember? Was it with G.I. Joe's? Who was it with?
I think so.
The whole thing made me very uncomfortable.
That's the one thing you remember about her.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. Well, in honor of Stephanie's birthday today, why don't we give something away, but not to her.
A flying Barbie doll.
Not to her. We have a pair of tickets to see Basim Youssef live at the Mac Theater at the College of DuPage. It's happening.
He's the John Stewart of the Arab world, is he not,
Yes,
Wendy?
He is. Very good.
Yep.
You pay attention sometimes.
Yep.
It's happening a week from today, Friday, October 19th. He is dubbed the Egyptian John Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Youssef is a political satirist. He's been seen on The Daily Show and Late Night with Stephen Colbert. And if you'd like to get tickets, call 630-942-4000, or you can just go to atthemac.org, or you can win some from us right this second. We have a pair of tickets to see Basim Youssef live at the Mac Theater at the College of DuPage next Friday. 312-981-7200. What number, caller?
18.
You're making Jasmine do a lot of work.
It's Friday. She's got 2 days off.
Exactly. 18. Let me do it.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Why 18? That's just so such a wild number.
You've never heard of 18 before?
Never.
It's been around forever.
312-981-7200, caller number 18, walks away with tickets to see the Egyptian John Stewart. Is John Stewart cool with him?
I think he is.
That?
Yeah, I think he's all right.
All right.
You have to sign off on something like that. Wendy, as you know, Halloween is just 19 short days away.
Boo!
I wish you wouldn't do that. So here we have some etiquette rules for people who will be observing Halloween to help make your Halloween both happier and safer.
All right.
These are various etiquette rules.
What about funner?
It doesn't say funner, but I'll write that in. Hold on a second. Hold on. Funner. Rule number one, and these are in no particular order. This isn't the most important rule going down to the least important. These are just random. Rule number one, Wendy, if you don't know what a costume is, do not guess. There's one thing that you don't want to say about a child's DIY, do-it-yourself costume, accidentally guessing their costume wrong. Any child probably thinks their costume is obvious, so hearing someone misinterpret it after working hard to put it together can be crushing to a child. I agree. Can I tell you what is worse than that? And
yes.
I saw this happen 1,000 times when I was a kid during my trick-or-treating years, is when you got a bunch of kids to the door, and whoever's giving out the candy says, oh, who do we have? We have a pirate, and we have a witch, we have a Frankenstein, and who are you supposed to be? That's the saddest thing a kid can hear on Halloween. Who are you supposed to be?
That's pretty bad.
Don't ever say that. That's the worst.
Do you have a favorite costume that your girls were?
Kylie changed almost, sometimes she would wear more than one costume in a year, but Reese was always Tinkerbell. She just loved being Tinkerbell.
Really?
Yes. Yes. How about for the boys?
For Dylan, I made the best costume ever. I made a lot for him. Michael was just, he would pick easy things.
Oh,
yeah. Like a Ghostbuster.
Oh.
He was a skeleton 1 year, and he didn't like his costume, so every picture we took, Michael was, like, frowning.
Oh.
Which was good for a skeleton.
He was
playing the part.
Yeah.
But I made Dylan, I took a straw hat and spray painted it yellow, like a cowboy hat, straw hat, spray painted it yellow. He wore all yellow with a yellow tie with polka dots that I made, and he carried his Curious George monkey, and he was the man with the yellow hat.
That's a great costume.
I was pretty proud of
that.
That's
a very good costume. Here's another etiquette rule for Halloween.
May I congratulate Gwen from Chicago?
Yeah.
Who is going to go see Basim Youssef live at the Mackinich Arts Center, the Mack Theater at College of DuPage, 1 week from today, October 19th. If you didn't win these tickets to see the Egyptian John Stewart, you can get your own tickets. Call 630-942-4000 or go online at themack.org. Congrats, Gwen.
What night is that, Wendy?
Friday night, the 19th.
Okay, because I'm seeing the French Maury Amsterdam that night, so I cannot go to that show. I feel very bad about that. Here's another etiquette rule. Have you seen him?
No, I would like to.
He does quite a show.
I bet he's loud.
He is loud. I'm not going to say he's not a little loud. Sit toward the back if you're saying the All French Maury Amsterdam. Here's another. This makes sense, too. At work, skip the gruesome decorations at the office.
Tell that to Judy Pilak.
Yeah, she made our green room very scary.
Have you seen the PPG Paints green room? It's
frightening.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
And the newsroom.
But we've had guests come in and tell us that they were afraid to sit in the green room because it's so horrific. Speaking of this, on my way in every day, there's a retirement center that I pass, and they are it is decorated like crazy for Halloween. But it's stuff that I would think that if I had a parent there, I'd be afraid that it would give my loved one a heart attack. It's all kinds
scary?
Of ghouls and skeletons, and everybody's arms are reaching out as if to grab you. And I go, how many of the residents of this retirement center weren't even thinking it was Halloween and just walked down the hall and just...
And they thought, oh, look, that's Betty from room 502.
Right. use costumes to your advantage at work. It says employees in a stuffy office shouldn't show up at work in an outrageous costume.
Again, tell Judy Pilak
this. Yeah, I know. But you might be missing an opportunity if you aren't festive in a more laid-back workplace. If you do have an office where people aren't so buttoned up, I would not be the spoilsport who shows up in business casual.
What do we do every year? Everyone dresses up.
You and I have ever dressed mm-hmm. up, but almost everybody here at WGN does dress up.
Bertrand went as you. Is that last year or just a couple of years ago?
2 or 3 years ago, he was dressed like me. That was flattering.
It wasn't really that.
Wasn't it?
I mean, he put a baseball cap on.
Yeah.
That was really
and
it.
And what else did he have on? Like
a
hoodie that I would wear.
But not shorts.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
Have you stopped wearing shorts? I didn't look at you.
I'm wearing long
today.
Pants today.
Look too at cold. You. You're cold. Growing up.
It's too cold. Don't assume that everyone shares your sense of humor.
Duh.
That's not a Halloween etiquette rule, Wendy. I'm just telling you that. Don't go ahead.
Thank you.
A punny costume. That's right. You heard me say it. A punny costume is always a hit, but never make a joke costume at someone else's expense. And keep in mind that offensive isn't limited to racial stereotypes or sacrilegious groups. I have to think now, in a more politically correct world, that costumes that might have flown past the radar 10 or 15 years ago would now raise a lot of eyebrows, don't you think?
Bill, it's such a mean climate out there that I wonder if people are going to really push it this year.
Maybe. Maybe.
There, I saw a costume on Facebook, and I'm not saying what side you're on. I thought it was a creative costume. It was a Hispanic girl who had herself... She worked it out so there were fake legs. It was Donald Trump carrying a box of a Hispanic person, like, moving them out.
Oh, interesting.
And it was...
So if you wore that to work, though, you're guaranteed to offend some people,
Oh,
yeah,
well,
right?
That's what I mean. But in this climate, I feel like people are going to go out of their way to offend others.
Because this is their chance, because they can say, it's Halloween.
It's a costume.
No harm meant by this. I'm just dressed for Halloween. Interesting. All right, we have more of these. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Give us a call or a text. Back after this, it's WGN.
Happy birthday to Stephanie Tischner, our former producer, pre-Jasmine, pre-Kevin.
Yeah.
And the thing you remembered most about her on her birthday is what she did with her Barbie dolls. And
very peculiar.
Stephanie's in here. Happy birthday, first of all.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
We're so happy for
you. Did we remember it wrong?
You did. Oh. My Barbies weren't married to G.I. Joes. My Barbie, whose name was Natalie, was married to Donnie Wahlberg of New Kids on the Block.
The real Donnie Wahlberg or just a doll representing Donnie Wahlberg?
My older brother got first dibs on the hottest New Kids on the Block, Jordan. Yeah. So his Barbie, Natasha, was married to Jordan, and my Barbie, Natalie, was married to Donnie.
So any sexual activity between them was certainly not only consensual, but it was applauded. They were married.
Oh, they were married. All and right. They had babies, which were G.I. Joes, and I would just take off their clothes.
That's a big baby.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And furry.
So, you know, most people, when they pretended their dolls were having sex, they'd put a blanket over them and put them in a shoebox. Okay, yours maybe could... I did that. How did yours have sex?
So I would disrobe them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Barbie and Donnie would just, like, just put their bodies together, and I would just fly them around the room.
They were flying while they did this, though.
Well, I thought flying was the thing, so they were just together
did
and flying.
Set up unreal expectations for you for your own wedding night, though?
Bill!
I miss that.
I'm just curious.
That's what I miss you working with us saying, Bill.
I'm very curious.
Well, happy birthday, and
thanks, guys.
May you fly tonight.
Yeah. We got you tickets to Southwest, anywhere you want to go. With Donnie Wahlberg.
All right, we have a special guest on the phone with us. Very happy to say hello to a sister in sound, Bill. Kathy Hart is on the line with us.
Kathy, how are you?
I don't know how I'm going to follow Barbie sex talk.
It's a weekly feature we do.
We wanted to welcome you aboard into the WGN family. You've been off the air for a while, you know.
I know. I didn't even realize. I think it's been almost a year and a half. That doesn't even seem possible. Time is flying. There's no doubt about it.
Do you still hear from Jobo?
Every day.
You do?
I cannot get him off the phone.
You're getting your duos mixed up, Bill. Jeez. Now, you are going to be working with Frank. Just beware. That's all I'm telling you, Kathy. You're going to be working with Frank Fontana, co-hosting the show with him. He's on Sundays from 1 to 3. He does a great job. The two of you together is going to be magic. I can't wait to hear it.
I think we're going to have some fun. I didn't know a lot about Frank until our agent, like, hooked us up because I needed some design help because I'm horrible with design. And so we started joking about it, and then I can't believe it's actually happening. So, I mean, who knows? I'm just going to have some fun and come out to play because it's been a while.
So you've not met Frank at all or just recently have?
Just recently have. So I didn't even really know his background because I wasn't that much of a DIY girl. I was more of a in the kitchen girl, and I'm thoroughly impressed. So I told him, I said, it's been so long that I've been on the air, he might have to just turn off my mic and shut me up.
No, he will be great, and he will ease you back into it. It's just like riding a bike, as I told you on Facebook.
Yeah, I still feel like it's totally coming into a new school. Like, I'm starting my first day at a new school, so I'm a little bit nervous, and I'm super excited because it's WGN. I grew up listening to WGN, and I'm actually thinking about what outfit to wear. Is the studio really cold?
It's moderately temperature-wise, I would say.
Yeah, it's a little chilly, but Bill and I set the bar really low. It's really radio. Low. You don't have to dress up.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I've been living in yoga pants for a year, and I'm not even doing yoga.
And something that you and Frank Fontana have together, or have in common, is he's very into, the Zen-like being and holistic in some ways, and you're kind of into that, too. So you guys are going to have a great groove going.
Yeah, I think that we can, based on both of our experiences, bring a lot of, education, I guess, in that whole world, but not to the point where it's ad nauseum, because that whole world is, just baby steps for a lot of people. So it'll be interesting.
You've missed this, though, haven't you, Kathy? I mean, after doing it for so long and then not doing it for a while, you miss it, don't you?
Yeah, when I thought about, I've had some opportunities, and I'm just like, I'm really enjoying being a mom right now, and it's gotten to the point, though, where my kids are like, okay, you've been home long enough. Would you please go back to work? We're done with you checking up on us.
It's great being a mom. I really do love my two boys. They drive me nuts sometimes, but I found myself loving them more when they're asleep.
Isn't that the most peaceful time ever as a mom?
Yes. I guess that's bad to say. No, I love my kids so much when they're sleeping.
Yeah, bad, and when we escape from them into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Basically the only place we can escape.
I know. Well, it is so good to hear you back on the radio. I missed you, I'll tell you that much. And
thank you.
It's so nice that you're paired up with Frank Fontana.
We're going to have some fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Once, the rust is taken care of and the nerves, I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
He's great, Kathy. And I said earlier, I'm surprised they didn't pair you off with Lou Manfredini, because you both have a history of working with tools.
On that note.
Listen, we want to welcome you with open arms. You're part of the family. I know you're going to do a couple of Sundays with Frank. And then sometime, I believe, next week, you and Frank are going to fill in for John Williams.
Yeah, we are. I think that's on Wednesday. I better get that right.
Yeah.
It is Wednesday. Yeah.
All right, well, cool.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard. I've missed hearing you on the air. I didn't really listen, but I miss you. Let me just say that. So welcome back.
Thank you so much. I can't wait, and thank you for welcoming me back.
Absolutely. Good luck, Kath. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
That's
bye.
Kathy Hart.
You can hear her
with Frank Fontana this weekend.
I'm a big fan of hers. I really am. She was at the mix a long time.
Yeah.
Before.
Yes.
Pre.
Yes.
Yeah. All right,
we'll take a break. Oh, for those of you hoping to hear more of the Halloween etiquette tips, don't worry. Wendy and I are headed to the stream, and we will carry that over there. So listen in for that, please.
I am coming up all the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.